How are conclusions reached?
That's an excellent question. Part of what I failed to do at the beginning is to tell you about my experience in conducting small area analyses. Most of my experience has been either data generation for small areas or data aggregation to make them available. So I haven't done a whole lot of actual analysis. It's been making the data available. And so the tools that I build, the type of education that I do now, is really about helping people formulate their questions. So I don't usually get to the conclusions. I usually help people formulate their research questions. I help them find the data that could help them answer those questions. But I think ultimately that's an area that I am not an expert in.
You know, and I've done a number of community needs assessment at the county level. And Jennifer, you're right. You're giving them the information to make the decision. You're not making the decision for them. One of the things that I do, though, in helping them make a decision is giving them benchmarks to look at. So how far am I away from a reasonable benchmark? And I think one of the issues in to help them make a decision whether they're doing well or not well based on whatever the indicator they look at is trying to figure out what that benchmark is. So are there national benchmarks like healthy people? Actually, now it's 2030. What about state benchmarks? What about even comparing a county, one county to another, one area to another, to say, does it, you know, just because I have 20% of something, is that good? Is that bad? Do I need to address it? You don't know until there's, as you said, context to it. One of the things that, as I think about benchmarks, especially in New York, if I'm looking at upstate counties, I try to take out New York City because of the population is so different. The health indicators are so different that if I was to compare a small upstate county with statewide, it may not make sense because of the influence of New York City. So I may say if I'm, again, a small county, I may just compare to upstate New York to have a better understanding of where how reasonable that bench that data indicator is compared to other things. And again, if I'm looking at New York City, I may take out some small rural areas out of the analysis because I think the rural aspect of the data may not make sense for New York City or downstate New York. So I think again, we've talked about contextualizing, giving the people the tools, and also giving people some reasonable benchmark to judge their progress against.
Yeah, we have several tools in our health landscape portfolio that use thresholds. So I can see areas that are above a certain range of diabetes prevalence. I can see areas that are above a certain level of poverty or low income. And I can easily adjust those thresholds just to say, hey, look how bad my area is. We always counsel our users to use those benchmarks that you're talking about. You can't really say how bad something is unless you're comparing it to something else. So national benchmarks, state benchmarks, if you're lucky enough to have those local benchmarks. We also recommend looking at clinical rates. So is my patient population, understanding that it's a self-selected population, but do I have higher rates of diabetes among all of my patients than I'm seeing in my community? And why might that be? I'm going back to the questions, but helping you look at those different benchmarks, I think is very beneficial to coming to your conclusions, coming to your ultimate findings of those analyses.
Jennifer, I think you covered it pretty well.